Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Mike Shope.
I have these notes, but I gotta say I'm just fired up to be here today.
And the Bulldog.
Pretty cool. Pretty damn cool.
Woo! On WGR.
Come on! Get up! Come on, get up if you're as psyched as I am.
Sports Radio 550.
Didn't know I was being recorded. At the
possibly,
doctor's office.
No one could possibly be as psyched as that man was psyched right
there. Ballmer?
Yeah.
Yeah, he seems to, everything I've ever seen of him,
I don't know.
It's like that. There's a lot of energy.
It's some pretty cool moments, but.
Good for him. Aren't you sort of jealous of people with lots of energy? Would you say that?
No, they're not if they're wasting it like that.
Well. I don't know how much they're wasting. People like that seem to just always be like that.
Oh, he might have needed a nap after that.
All right. Joining us now on the West Her Hotline is Travis Yost, TSM. We love having Travis on. It's been a while. We have the Bills season to wrap up with Travis. He's a Bills fan. We've got the Sabres season to talk about. And at least one food take that I will present to the court. Travis, how you been? Happy New Year.
I'm doing good. Bill season is never over. I'm literally sitting here right now with Buffalo over everything shirt on. The season lives on. I expect them to play the Sunday night game this weekend.
What are you thinking about? Are you thinking about how many night games next year? Are you thinking about draft picks, free agency? What's out there for you? What's in your mind?
I'm thinking about the 30 for 30 ESPN's going to do over Josh Allen throwing a jump ball to a fullback. And missing an open player in single coverage, who I learned a week later from the All 22 was Lee Smith. I want to know everything about it. I want to know the play design. I want to know the personnel. I want to know the Josh Allen. Why throw it to DeMarco in double coverage? Like, I want to know everything about that.
Right. Yeah, I didn't know about Lee Smith until like 2 days later, and that's when I just like. What is even happening here? Like, who runs a play with those two cats running deep? Like, what are you doing?
Well,
do you think Lee Smith could have got a holding penalty downfield?
He gets his penalties.
Or a personal foul or something. I mean, he should have done something down there.
That play.
Hands to the face, yeah.
I mean, Allen does this plenty, but, dude, run. I mean, the play has unfolded. He's out on the left. He's got time. Like, he was such a good runner. I mean, I could. I know how often he fumbled, but I've always this year I wanted to see more Allen runs. And in the playoff game, you know, there was a good number, but there could have been more.
What always blows my mind, Travis, about a play like that is how is not some fast guy running across the field waving like Antonio Brown used to do for Ben Roethlisberger? Like, how is that not happening on that play? Allen had the ball for like 8 seconds.
I know every team and every market and every world and every year ever says, oh, this year's important at the draft, but it does feel like this year's important at the draft, right? Like, they have got to hit, and it seems odd to want a receiver as early as the first round when you're not holding a premium pick, like, you know, in the top eight or so. But how do they not go that route?
It seems like a good year for it, and I like that idea as much as any other at this point.
Not that we're doing like a 30 for 30 on your Bills fandom, Travis, but it strikes me, I don't know that we've ever asked you, at least I have not been here if it's come up. Like, how did that happen for you?
Oh, this is a truly terrible story up until, I guess, this year. So when I was a little one, I think it was 3 or 4 years old, you know how they always ask, you know, when you're 3 and 4, you just feel the, you know, litany of moronic questions. I remember asking my old man at the time, so this is like 92, 93. I remember asking him, like, you know, Dad, what's the New York team? And, you know, we're out on Long Island. And of course, my dad gives me the corny, well, actually, there's only one New York team. And for whatever reason, my impressionable 3-year-old, 4-year-old self was like, oh, Buffalo? Yeah, I'm a Bills fan. And granted, you know, my entire dad's side of the family is all from upstate New York. So, you know, there was bloodline there to some degree. But that little response, and so keep in mind, right? Like, so think about my trajectory there. Now I'm coming in as a fan. Let's say you start becoming a real fan around like 9 or 10 or whatever. That's like 99, 2000, right? So I have really hit the apex of when to not be a Buffalo fan in that realm, because I mean that's roughly from like 2000 to 2017, 18. That was some stretch.
Right.
Yeah, you did a terrible job.
You timed it exactly when they stopped winning. That's right. Well, there's still hope for you. You're a young guy. Travis Yost with us on the Western Hotline. So the Sabres in the NHL here. The Sabres have won 3 straight. Joe just pointed it out. All in regulation, by the way. Should fans be encouraged? What does it look like here to you right now?
I think they should be a little bit encouraged. And by the way, got another coach fired in the process, right? I mean, how many coaches have been fired after losing to Buffalo? It's remarkable this year. But the Sabres are an interesting spot. Like they have 51 points, 48 games. I think they're 5th in the division, 11th in the conference. But they're at a point where they're not out of it yet. And despite the play being broadly underwhelming for most of the year, one of the interesting things to me is, Even where they're currently at, which is really looking up at the majority of the teams in the Eastern Conference, they've got a really promising stretch here coming up. I think I looked at it. I think they've got 9 of the next 11 games are at home. They basically have 2 back-to-back 5-ish game homestands. And if you look at the teams coming in, it's a lot of similarly situated teams with deficiencies, whether they're scoring issues, goaltending issues. They do host Colorado, which could be a bloodbath. But, like, absent the Avalanche, there's a lot of, quote-unquote, winnable games there. And, you know, if there's any time to go on a run here where you get, you know, you're playing at like a 1.3-point-per-game pace, it's right now, because the opportunity here is significant for the Sabres. And I actually think this stretch is going to be the one that ultimately decides what this team does at the deadline, too, right? They go on a decent stretch here over these next 11 games. They could absolutely be situated to the point where, like, hey, yeah, we're in this, and maybe we're only 30 or 40% in this, but we're still in it. So we have to change our mindset for the February 25 trade deadline, or it could go the other way. And usually it has gone the other way, but, you know, they drop a majority of these winnable games. They're just going to know by, right, let's say, early February, that they are selling pieces at the deadline.
Yeah, we ran it down earlier today, and yeah, Travis, Detroit is in there twice. They've got Ottawa to lead it off. Ottawa's the first road game after that stretch. There's one road game in the middle of it, and that's the Rangers. Columbus twice in there. Anaheim's in there. It's pretty nice. Like, Toronto and Colorado are the only teams that are, like, not in the schmozzle the Sabres are in. That are in that mix.
And the other interesting thing is that's kind of indicative of the league right now this year, huh? For whatever reason, there's not a lot of teams right now that you look at and you're like, wow, they are an absolute Stanley Cup contender. And maybe I'm overstating it a touch, but remember everyone was like, oh, Boston's going to run away with that division. And they've hit quite the stretch. I mean, that Brad Marchand shootout miss, like, everyone laughed at it, and it's like, oh, they cost themselves a point. They actually cost themselves 2 points, right? I mean, they blew a 3-goal lead in the process. They haven't been playing well lately. And you're like, oh, Tampa Bay's on fire. Yeah, but they didn't play for the first 2 months of the season. Toronto fired their coach. I mean, this is just the Eastern Conference. Then go out west. Nashville was one of the, you know, maybe not a cup contender, but, one of the more reputable playoff teams. They fired their head coach. Vegas was I think Vegas was the odds-on favorite in the Western Conference. And even despite a very decent record, I think they already have 56 points. They fired their coach. Like, you know, Colorado looks really good, but they've had injury issues. But there haven't been outside of Washington, there haven't been a ton of obvious teams where you look at them and you're like, absolute Stanley Cup contender, no doubt about it. So this is bigger than expected muddy middle, which, in my opinion, makes it opportunistic for Buffalo.
Travis Yost with us. Speaking of Vegas and Gerard Gallant being fired here after their loss to the Sabres on Tuesday night, then he was fired the next day. I read your article about them. They happen to be my Stanley Cup bet that I just made this week, just trying to find the team that has some smart numbers and a good price. And they were 13-1 to win the Cup. I thought maybe that would go up after the coaching change, but it really hasn't. Maybe everybody's sort of keen to that. Well, last year, for example, and other times teams have made coaching changes and gone on to win. Doesn't seem like maybe that bad of an indicator. You know, I think if I can sum up what you wrote, I might do it like this. Teams don't really seem to understand yet that goaltending going south, you know, is why they see their team lose. And they make a coaching change thinking, I mean, sort of feel like it has to be this way, Travis, that they think they're doing more, that they're addressing something else than just really slumping goaltending.
Yeah, the theme of the article, and by the way, first off, the bet at 13-1 price, that's about as good as you're going to get. I mean, go look at the Western Conference. First off, let's talk strategically here. It's a division-based playoff format. What team in the Pacific has better personnel right now than Vegas? It's not really close, right? That's number one. So at a minimum, assuming Vegas gets one of the three divisional spots, which I think is more likely than not to occur, who is scaring you? Is it Edmonton and Calgary and Arizona? And, like, I really like Arizona this year, but, like, are those teams the teams that you put over Vegas? No way. And the other thing is, you know, the thing about coaching firings is a lot of times we don't know what we don't know. And a lot of the times, and it's not nefarious. Sometimes stuff does happen behind the scenes, and it's like, oh, we have to move on. And that just maybe becomes the cherry on top. But it is fascinating to me. If you look at every single coaching firing over the last 3 years, there's been one common theme. The goaltending, the stop rates in the 10 games preceding the firing are anywhere from shaky at best to absolutely awful. And it's almost as if front offices react to goaltending performance, especially in short periods, by orders of magnitude aggressively more than anything else. And I always find that fascinating because goaltenders are also the hardest to forecast, the hardest to understand, and yet we're so susceptible to making coaching changes in those type environments. And the other implied point in that piece, and by the way, Gerard Gallant, what was his save percentage over the last 10 games from Fleury and Subban? 858. I mean, that is unwinnable regardless. And to your point, there's third in chances, second in expected goals. They're still running crazy good goal differentials when you control for goaltending. But yeah, they go through a bad goaltending stretch, kill them in the standings for a little bit. Still in a playoff spot, though, 3 points out of the division, and they make a coaching change, which, ironically, to a guy who oversaw some of the worst goaltending we have ever seen in the last 10 years between Martin Jones and Aaron Dell in San Jose.
Yeah.
So the whole thing was odd. At a minimum, Gallant's going to get a job, like, tomorrow quickly. If DeBoer can get a job that quickly after the way, you know, and I think, again, in Vegas' defense, I think goaltending was unfairly a way, way, way negative mark on DeBoer, maybe the same way it was to a lesser degree on Gallant in the way the goaltending has happened here. But here's the reality. If Fleury and Subban regress, let's say towards league average, what do we expect? Like right now, year to date, they're 18th in save percentage, all situations. Like, that's not terrible. If they regress to 15th or 14th, plus you know you've got maybe the best 5-on-5 team in the Western Conference with a power play that's 7th in goals, like, to me, 13-1 is a crazy good price.
Right. But maybe, like, they'll just sort of eventually that gets right and, I don't know, run away with the division. But, like, I don't know. I would like them to still win that division. I mean, they're only a point out of first place, for God's sake.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, it's not a good division. And by the way, I mean, I'm not going to get on this rant. We'll have plenty of time for that. How many good teams in the Eastern Conference are going to be left out looking at teams in the Western Conference, specifically the Pacific, that are 5 points worse in the standings but have a guaranteed playoff spot? It is as topsy-turvy as it is. We complain about it every year. It is as bad this year as it's ever been. And a lot of it is because of how good the Metro is and how bad the Pacific is.
Mm-hmm. Travis Yost with us. The Sabres play in Nashville tomorrow night. One point that came up yesterday, we were talking to Rob Ray in Dallas, and I don't remember what started it. It was about waivers with the expansion draft in mind, that teams might be more moves, maybe more goalie moves.
Find your way to a goalie. We're talking about whether we trust Ullmark going into next year, even Ullmark and Hutton. And can you find your way? Do you think they'll make a move? Because Luukkonen is still, you know, a ways off.
And Rob mentioned, like, Matt Murray. You might have heard something about that. I'm thinking about Vegas. I don't know about their cap space, but maybe there's a goalie move. Have you thought this through, Travis, whether it's goaltending or just the league in general, whether there might be more action than we have gotten used to? We've gotten used to there being not that much, I think. And would Seattle be a catalyst?
It certainly, I mean, I had like seven different interesting thoughts come to my mind in that 30-second little back and forth. Because number one, like, you hit one of the really interesting theories in hockey right now that's not spoke about a lot, but I think it's a really important point. The teams that have, by and large, and this used to be a very common strategy, you punt on the backup goalie. You accept the fact that your starting goalie is going to give you 65 to 68 games. You're going to have 10 games of randomness from Peter Budaj or pick your favorite journeyman backup in the league. And you know what? It is what it is. Those are schedule loss games, and we're good with it. If you look around the league, the vast majority of teams do not play goalies, their starting goalies, remotely at that same type of rate. They understand workload better. They understand burden better. They understand injury risk better. And what's happened is backup goalies now are starting to eat a little bit more into the cap because teams are recognizing, hey, not only do we need a backup, but in some cases maybe a platoon makes more sense, right? Mm-hmm. We see plenty of platoons around the league now. And maybe, you know, in some cases it's, okay, I'm going to split this dollar two ways instead of just giving the dollar to my starter. But it's an interesting from an expansion draft perspective because teams, I think, are going to be more reticent to shake loose goaltenders, for example, unless they truly have a logjam of guys. Like, I think the Rangers are fascinating from that perspective, right? You got the first ballot Hall of Famer in Lundqvist still in situ, and you've got two really impressive goaltenders coming from behind. And it's like at some point, you know, you're hearing a lot of the trade market spatter about what the Rangers are going to do with one of those two goalies as a trade piece, and they will move them. But you start putting in the perspective of the expansion draft, and it's like, what does this all look like? The other point that I cannot wonder about more than anything is I wonder if teams are going to change their strategy going into the expansion draft, knowing that Vegas took so many teams for a ride, not because of the rules of the draft, but because of the machinations behind the scenes to pay more at the end of it. And, you know, like, Florida gets a lot of flack for the Marchessault and Smith thing, and it was obviously laughable at the time to protect Alex Petrovic. But, like, Columbus paid a premium, Minnesota paid a premium. Like, there were, like, five or six teams that basically were like, hey, I don't want to give you a dollar, I want to give you $2. And, like, I just think teams are going to, by and large, try and stick to the expansion draft rules where possible. Because I think they have now realized that the expansion team, in this case Seattle, is going to be smart enough to know that if they're going to try and skirt the rules of the draft, they're going to make a pay for it. And I think that creates an interesting, potentially chill factor in terms of it may not chill the moves directly, you know, in the trade market between Seattle and a given team. It may chill that, but it may not chill the engineering of trades between other teams to kind of right-size their roster so they're in the best spot to in terms of protecting the talent that they care about.
Very good, Travis. Well, the last time you were on, you're known for your strong analysis and your wild opinions about food and restaurants. Last time you were on, I brought up the Olive Garden to you, and you put me right in my place. That was fine. I'm happy to have you say anything you're thinking here. I want to tell you this. I was in a conversation out in the office today with a coworker, and we were talking about Girl Scout cookies. And, you know, I'm like, yeah, I don't really like the Samoa too much. And I said, come to think of it, I've never had a good cookie. And I thought, wow, I've got to run that by Travis. I've got to run that by you.
That's a bold take. Hey, let me tell you something. I'm not a big cookie guy, but how do you skirt? Is it the mint chocolate chip Girl Scout cookies? The mint ones?
Yeah,
mints. Just get out of here with mint. Mint is a terrible choice.
I mean,
wait a second. I'm not super pro mint, generally speaking, but For Girl Scout cookies, I've been known to buy a couple hundred boxes from an 8-year-old out in front of a grocery store. Yeah, I'll do that.
My advice is, if you're craving those, go brush your teeth. You get the same taste in your mouth.
That's it. Exactly.
Why have a cookie when you can brush your teeth?
Practice some hygiene instead. You could do this. Accomplish the same thing. Your mouth will taste like mint when you're done.
How can you have never had like a delicious, warm, just out of the oven chocolate chip cookie?
They're so boring. I don't know. I just don't.
I will make an argument in a quasi defense. I do think cookies are a little overrated because, like, you know, there is an opportunity cost, right? If I eat a warm out of the oven cookie, that might be all fine and well, but like, could I rather have a donut? Like, I would in any way, shape, or form prefer to have the donut over the chocolate chip cookie. I mean, that's not even debatable.
Right. Or pizza.
Pizza, you got to be tricky. You got to be big. Don't get me started.
No, we're going to the pizza terrible. Here. You probably, what fine, do you do? A cheeseburger. You probably eat pizza with a spoon. I don't know what to do with you.
Yeah, all right. I don't mean pizza. I just mean pizza and pizza-like foods that people go out to eat. They're not cookies, not dessert. All right, Travis, thanks as always.
All right, take care, guys.
Travis Yost on the Wester Hotline. I think he's at Travis Yost, but I'm just double-checking that. Yep.
This cookie thing is horrendous. I mean, I can't horrendous. Say, I can't speak to the caliber of cookie that you have been exposed to. So, I mean, it's possible that you've only had horrible cookies your whole life. I mean, really,
forever.
It is. But, you know, so I can't
that
really.
That seems hard for me to believe.
Yeah,
though.
same here.
Never have a run-in with a good cookie. Yeah, I feel like I have a run-in with like a great cookie like once a week, at least.
Chocolate chip cookies, just okay. There's nothing interesting to me about them. Peanut butter, sugar cookies, what else? Name a good cookie. Like
what
oatmeal cookies.
Interesting, though. Like they're good. I don't care if they're interesting. Like you can throw some you know, M&Ms on there if we need color or we need to, like, to put on a show. But
I would just 100% of the time, not that I'm eating this that often either, 100% of the time I'd rather have like a bag of potato chips.
You just don't have a sweet tooth then, is what this is.
I guess. Really don't do cake. Pies, yes. Yep. Ice cream, not that often. Cookies, don't care at all.
I don't eat a lot of sweets either, and I definitely don't eat a lot of cookies. Like Joe's in here once a week. He has to run in with a good cookie.
yeah, once a week.
I might go months without having a cookie, like actually. But you get me a nice warm chocolate chip cookie and some vanilla ice cream, I am good to go.
Ugh.
Of course, the best vanilla, French vanilla, perfect.
The best vanilla is
all set.
I mean, there's no words. Good to go. Where? Yeah. You're not even going to be full.
Well, I'm probably not making a meal out of it. I mean,
you're going to go to sleep. No, I mean, I don't know. Not interested at all. At all. Later, Teron Davenport, ESPN, on Titans Chiefs. He covers the Titans for ESPN. Found a good little trivia question about NFL head coaches.
Okay.
9 of the 32 went to high school, graduated from high school in the same state, including ours.
Okay.
Got a list for you. And we'll talk championship weekend as well. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. You can reach us, 803-0550. Couple things. We've been talking about the Astros a lot this week, and when might something about your team get you off that team as a fan, or even the sport. We talked about that in the first hour. And also the Sabres win last night and whether you're feeling better about them. Lines open now. This is WGR.
Time to announce this hour's WGR Win Cash code word, and this hour's code word is neighbor, NEIGHBOR. You have until the top of the hour to text the word neighbor to 72881 for a chance to win $1,000. Message and data rates may apply. It's the National Win Cash Contest on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Crazy that you're not following anybody, but somehow you have number one pass defense in the league. Almost like our strategy works. It's almost like you're an idiot for doing it any other way. It's almost like you're dumb if you do it another way. It's almost like people have been saying, oh, do it this way for so long, but they don't have a number one defense. But until you start telling me that a great left tackle is following pass rushers wherever they go, tell Joe to go in there and block him. Until that starts happening, miss me with it.
Sherman? Who am I listening to here?
That is Richard Sherman.
Yes. Give me all the Richard Sherman.
When asked why he doesn't follow the other team's number one receiver.
So he stays on one side of the field normally. Green Bay has one good receiver, Devontae Adams. So you'd expect Green Bay to use Devontae Adams, put him, line him up away from Richard Sherman.
Mm-hmm.
That could be, if it's as easy as that, it probably won't be as simple as that. That could be really good for Green Bay because that combination works and the 49ers are not great. Remember they had a guy start last week and he got burned by Diggs for a touchdown right away. They took him out. Like they're iffy mm-hmm. at that second corner. So if Sherman travels, which again is unusual for him to do, then maybe you'd see Adams in the slot. And he's had experience in that spot before. I was going to mention this in Rachel's Fresh Picks.
Well, teaser for the Fresh Picks segment now. We just make this Rachel's Fresh Picks half hour if you want. I mean, just go for it.
Do we have the do you have the authority?
I don't think I do. No, I misspoke.
I think in a DFS game, you're looking for someone else on Green Bay in Green Bay's passing game, and you're trying to find a lineup that's contrarian, so you'd pick the underdogs, and then also Devontae Adams is obvious. But who is it? Is it this Lazard who Rodgers likes? Is it possibly Geronimo Allison who just he and Valdez-Scantling seem to never get the ball? I think Jimmy Graham is interesting.
I was gonna say, yeah.
He sort of came back to life a little bit last week, so I think I would be on that for a lineup. But who the second wideout is for Green Bay is tough. Let's go to Brian here. Hi, Brian.
Hey, guys. Mike, I mean, I think you made a comment that needs examining. I mean, a bag of chips over a chocolate chip cookie. I mean, even if you go to the tippy top of the A-list for chips, I mean, you're talking about Doritos or Cheetos maybe. Compare that to a hot Chick-fil-A chocolate chip cookie, you're not even close. I don't know, man. I don't know what's going on at that station between Howard's apple pie, peanut butter, or strawberries. It slips through the crack. It's just unbelievable to me. I mean, that audibly made me shout in the car.
Oh, no.
What?
Yeah, definitely Doritos over Cheetos or any other ones, probably. But, I love a snack-sized bag of Doritos over a cookie. Totally. Totally.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know.
The revelation. Anyway.
Sorry.
I think the 49ers are the more balanced win out west.
Effortless.
And now, the game, I thought they did to the Ravens what I thought was going to happen. I mean, they ran it right down the Ravens' throat and clamped down on the points. But, man, do I trust Mahomes' greatness? This is his chance to kind of seize the East or seize the AFC. Man, I think the points are going to come down. I think it looks a lot like the Rams-Titans Super Bowl, actually. I think you're looking at 23-19, Mahomes wins it late. Is about where I've landed there.
All right.
So you'd take Tennessee with the points then?
Yeah, I think Tennessee with the points. It wouldn't be surprising if they choke the Chiefs' offense down a little bit. Anytime Tyreek Hill is running his mouth about how you can't be covered, that never bodes that well. So it really just comes down to you trust in Mahomes' greatness. I mean, really. I mean, he's
yep.
next-generation quarterback. And so do I think he can beat a 9-7 Titans team? I think so, but the Titans beat them in the regular season. And the way that they played, Patriots and Ravens, they hold them to 12 and 13 points respectively. I don't think you can take that lightly.
No, you can't, but he was dinged in that game, right? It was before he suffered the knee injury. I think he suffered the knee injury a few days after that game. They played a Thursday night game after that, but he hurt his ankle, I think, in that game. And was kind of, he was just a little gimpy. He just wasn't moving around as well as he can, and that's not a problem now. So I'm considering that when I'm thinking about what to figure out about this game.
This is Mahomes we're talking about?
Yeah, yeah. He was not, I'm almost positive. I saw a highlight package of all that this week, and I think that's all right. I think that it was predates the dislocated kneecap, but he was compromised by something else.
I saw the other day that so these two games are both rematches. You're talking about the first meeting between the Chiefs and the Titans. The Titans won that at home, and San Francisco won a Sunday night game big over Green Bay, I thought it was cool to see that the losing teams in those games have not lost since. The Packers and the Chiefs have both gone undefeated since their respective losses to the 49ers and the Titans. I would be on the Chiefs there. The line is down to 7 at the moment.
I'm tempted by the Titans because it's a pretty cool story and they're on quite a roll. I mean, they took down the Patriots and they took down the Ravens, and I think they're tough, and I think that can work for you. But I just I think Mahomes healthy with everybody at his disposal, and that's what he should have. I mean, I don't really care if LeSean McCoy's available or not. Thank you. I just think that's even against a team that's really big and tough, I still think the highly talented quarterback with those guys is going to make enough plays to get the points they need. And I don't know if Tennessee I know they kept up against them earlier this year. I mean, they won.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
On the game, 35-32, so they scored with Kansas City in that game. And I guess I'm not expecting Kansas City necessarily to get to 40 or 50 again like they did last week, but I think Kansas City's better. Mahomes is the best player on the field in the game, I think, and I'm going to lean their way, I think.
I do. I'm leaning there, but I don't love it. I think the couple of points that I'm thinking about are that Baltimore moved the ball great against Tennessee. Tennessee did not have a great defense. New England has a terrible offense and could not move the ball against Tennessee. I think the bottom line is that the Titans can be scored on. The Ravens had turnovers and a couple of fourth down stops, and that's not what I'd want to expect to be repeated. And they have this incredible red zone scoring streak, the Titans, that's just like you're rolling super hot at the crabs table here. So I think there is a lot of luck in what Tennessee has done. At the same time, what have I been saying all year about the Chiefs in the playoffs when it seemed like the Bills could draw them? Who's driving around in a new sports car that they bought with money they won on the Chiefs in the playoffs? I mean, this coach and this organization have blown it, and they were on their way to doing that last week. Now they turned that around, and that's not lost on me. But I would be on Kansas City. It's just I do have some hesitation about that. Last week, the only game I liked was Green Bay. It tells you just how whimsical sports betting is. I mean, that really was their game, but they were giving 4.5 and they won by 5. They easily could have lost that game. They maybe should have, as the game played out. They maybe should have lost.
I mean, Seattle punted with 3 minutes to go and never got the ball back.
Yeah, I mean, there was nothing decisive about it. I like the 49ers. In terms of these two games and like one aspect of the two games, whatever I said about the Chiefs on offense or the Titans on defense, I think the toughest one is Green Bay on offense. I made that point about the second corner. The other guy held his own in the Viking game. And I'm not sure Green Bay can block San Francisco.
Right. I'm sort of anticipating Rodgers having a pretty tough time getting, I mean, I think he'll make some plays, but I think that defensive line. I mean, Bosa. I'm taking both home teams. I'm gonna lay the points in both cases on these games.
How are you?
Well, I just don't think the 49ers can be stopped on defense.
I have you at 57-38-2 according to the internet, and that is outstanding. So I should just do whatever you say.
I mean, it sounds like we're. I mean, you're. You know, I'm not inclined to pick against you. I like both of those. So, I mean, you're laying
you
that
like
out.
Both
you're
favorites.
I like both favorites. Yeah.
Green Bay under is appealing to me a little bit, but I don't really love anything here. So, championship weekend. I've been to, one AFC championship game ever. January of 92, 1991 season. Bills Broncos.
Okay.
Carlton Bailey.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting at the other end zone, like those higher seats,
yeah,
in front of the boxes at the other end zone, the scoreboard end.
Yeah, yeah.
So the Bailey touchdown was at the tunnel end, and I can still see the play.
Yeah.
I can still see the play. I can still see the Bills recovering a Steve Sewell fumble at around midfield to clinch the game after Denver had scored to make it 10-7.
Kirby Jackson maybe calls the fumble or recover the fumble. I remember Kirby Jackson's name in that game for something, and I think maybe that's it.
You know what? I've got it, the whole game play by play on my phone. I should just
of course you do
the audio of it. Let me go find. All right. How long do we have? Like 4 minutes?
Yeah,
let me go see if I can find that highlight.
Let's do that.
See if it's in there.
All right.
Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, Teron Davenport. Speaking of Tennessee, Kansas City covers the Titans for ESPN. He'll be on with us next hour. We've got open phones. I know Brian's upset about the cookie comment. That's fine. We love it. We embrace it when you're mad at our comments, especially when they're about cookies. That's easy to take. I can totally handle it. Stay tuned. This is WGR.
We have like a special game plan when we get down to 6-on-5 or 6-on-4, and we've been able to capitalize a lot of times when they pull their goalie, and that kind of gives you a lot more freedom those last couple of minutes. Instead of having like just a 1-goal lead, you have a 2-goal lead. Everything just kind of calms down, you know.
Fro League? Oh. Why wouldn't it be Fro League? He scored to make it 3-1 into an empty net. That's what this person is talking about.
Fro League's got a deeper voice. That's your goaltender. It's Linus Allmark.
Nice job. All right, from Linus Allmark and not Michael Frolik to Van Miller.
All right.
Would you like about 2 minutes of a critical moment in the 1992 AFC Championship, 91 season, Denver at Buffalo? It's now 10-7 Bills after a Denver touchdown. This is after Carlton Bailey's touchdown and a field goal to make it 10-0. Now it's 10-7. And Denver has just scored to make it 10-7. They're going to have the kickoff coming up here. We are under 2 minutes left in the game. Right?
All right.
Well, those of us who have worked these broadcasts all season long for the radio leader in Western New York, WGR News Radio 55, thank you for your patronage. And hopefully for Bills fans, there will be another game to come here on WGR. But the Bills still have some work to be done, and they have the ball handlers out there now for the anticipated onside kickoff, 1:43 left. And go back and think about the missed field goals by Treadwell. He missed from 42, hit the upright from 37, missed from 47. Denver could very, very much be ahead in this ball game. They have
stopping it for a second. How freaking good is this guy?
I know he's the best.
Like, there's that, and then notice the crowd is like it's quiet, right? It's quiet.
Yep.
It's cool.
Yeah.
He also has two color men in the booth with him who are also not talking.
Right.
I mean, like, this broadcast right here conveys the appropriate tension in the air, and it's not just noisy.
Right.
I like
that he says they could easily be ahead. They've outplayed the Bills.
That too.
I like
that.
It's
pretty real.
Says it just like that.
Pretty good. All right, we continue.
Really outplayed the Bills. Well, there were 105 unused tickets today. The actual attendance 80,272.
How great is that?
Denver overloading to the left, and the kickoff coming by Treadwell, ready to go, 1:43 to play. And there's the kick, and it goes right through a Bill's hand, and I don't know, the Broncos may have it. Let's wait and see. No, yes, they do have it. They have it at the 49-yard line. The Broncos have the ball with 1:38 to play. Atwater came up with the ball with 1:38 to play. They have it at their 49-yard line.
Stan?
It's Stan Roberts, yeah.
They have two timeouts left. The Bills are leading in this game 10-7. And Denver starts from their 49. Amazing. The Broncos, they have a chance to win this game now. Out to the left goes Michael Young. Wide to the right comes Derek Russell. Kubiak has been brilliant. He backs up in the pocket and lets it fly short, and Sewell is swung around and loses the ball. Let's see how they will rule it. It is Bill's ball. It is Bill's ball at the 43-yard line. Who came away with it? It is Kirby Jackson.
Good call. Kirby Jackson.
There's some stuff in there that's just not all covered up.
Know what else?
I remember some stuff.
Yeah, you nailed that.
I remembered some stuff.
First play after recovering an onside kick. Yeah. You know what else? Know what didn't happen right after that?
There wasn't a review.
Right. We didn't have to sit there and right. wonder if the thing we were there to see actually was going to count.
I don't know if Sewell made a football move.
Well, so I never have known.
Did he complete the catch? I just really don't know. I will admit, I mean, I'm glad that I knew it was Kirby Jackson that gets the ball. I don't remember the onside kick sequence at all. I just don't remember it. It hurts that maybe I wasn't watching this game. I was working at the pizza place, and we had it on the radio. This was like pre-bring the TV in days. Like, so we weren't allowed to have a TV in there, and so it was just radio only.
Were you all standing around the radio for this?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
So there it is, WGR, January 92, Bills 10, Broncos 7. Has a great sound to it.
That is tasty.
So Rachel's Fresh Picks, we gave you not even really much. I mean, it was not appropriate, an appropriate amount of content for the greatness that is Rachel's, but... One of the other Green Bay receivers and Jimmy Graham is what we got right. to for That's the picks. And we kind of like the favorites Sunday. We'll talk more about the games in a bit. I love my Rachels. And if you've been, I bet you love your Rachels too. You're missing out if you haven't tried it. Fast food done different. Freshness. Grilled chicken. Grilled steak. Seasoned perfectly. Every time you walk in, you smell it. You just sort of soak it in. They're grilling right there in front of you. It's great to watch too. Vegetables, cheese, onions, peppers, everything, olives, the pepperoncini I love on the romaine bowl with the grilled steak. Beautiful. Build it the way you want it, as many toppings as you like, plus the dill sauce or the Greek dressing as well. Bowls, wraps, and pitas from Rachel's. Use their exclusive partner DoorDash in case you want it delivered. And for catering, you can get what you need as well from Rachel's. Go to rachelsgrill.com. If you have an office party coming up or a birthday party, think of Rachel's when you're doing your planning. 7 locations in the area, North Towns, South Towns, and in the city. Elmwood and Chippewa is that location. I love my Rachel's. You'll love your Rachel's too. Rachel's Mediterranean Grill, official partner of the Bills and Sabres.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.